Welcome to a new year. There's something about a fresh start that inspires us. A clean slate stretches ahead full of opportunity and hope. For many of us, this is a season for reflection. We set goals or make resolutions as a new year begins. Statistics reveal that more than 93% of those who make resolutions are focused on improving their health. Here at Dayspring, we believe that nothing is more important than your spiritual health. And we are committed to helping all who are a part of our Dayspring community to growing in their relationship with Jesus. If you are a regular Dayspringer, welcome home. If you are new to Dayspring, the people watching with you want you to feel like you've come home as well. Wherever you are and whenever you watch, we are glad to be worshiping with you. We live in challenging times. And a fresh start on the calendar isn't going to magically make anything better. But no matter what the months ahead may hold, we are committed to helping you discover what it looks like to follow Christ in this day and age. If you have any questions or want to learn more about us as a church, please explore our website at dayspringfellowship.com. I'm Chris Voigt, lead pastor at Dayspring. I'd love to connect with you if you have any questions about today's message or about the next steps in your spiritual journey. If you want more information about Dayspring and getting connected into our community, I'd be glad to help you do that as well. For today's service, you can find study questions and notes in the resources section of our website. And now, let's worship together. And now, let's join our service already in progress.
All right, good morning, church. Honestly, this is such a breath of fresh air to see real life people here this morning just worshiping God. It's so good to be back. You know, as I'm a part of the worship team, the tech team, I've spent a lot of mornings here on Sunday morning with this worship center empty. And I cannot fully express how awesome it is to see people worshiping here at Dayspring again. Now, to those online, it's great to have you as well. The fact that I'm potentially speaking to people all over the U.S. or even the world, it's truly an honor, and it's a ministry that our tech team, as Chris said, has been working on tirelessly, I mean, really tirelessly, for months, even before the pandemic began. You guys should have seen what this worship center looked like without you guys in here. It was madness. Now, like Chris said, again, you're going to have to excuse me as I figure out how to preach to people again, right? I've become nearly dependent on teleprompters that are, you know, in front of me because I've been preaching to cameras for almost a year now in student ministries and up here. It's wild. And I'm going to try and give equal attention to everyone, but let's just acknowledge this. It's really weird, honestly, but I'm going to do my best. Now, before we get into the message, I just want to take some time to once again come before God together in prayer and ask him to continue to grow us during this season and to pray against the negative aspects that come from the enemy, like depression, anxiety, and sickness, as we learn about emotional health, so we can all come back comfortably as a family. Now, I invite you, for those in the room and those online, to just raise your hands with me as a posture before God as we pray. Heavenly Father, it's so wonderful to see people here in the room again, but Lord, there are still aspects where we can't gather again. So Lord, for those online, for here, we pray against those things out there that are keeping us held down. But God, this still is a season where we can grow emotionally and spiritually. So Lord, we pray against those hindrances in your name. We pray against the enemy. And Lord, that you use this morning as you always do, your glory. It's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are now several weeks into our series called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This series is all about how our emotional health and our spiritual health are woven together to form our identity in Christ. And so far, we've covered the symptoms of ignoring our mental health and the havoc that can bring with our relationship with God. And if you've missed any of the other four principles that we've covered so far, I just urge you to go back and watch or listen to those. You'll find those on our website or wherever you're watching today's live stream online. And today's principle is focused on providing us with a prescription for our emotional health based on the diagnosis we have found so far. We believe there is nothing more important than your spiritual journey here at Dayspring and giving you tools and ideas to help you grow forward greater, both spiritually and emotionally. Before we get to that message, I just want to be vulnerable and share a problem from my own life that I needed Jesus to work on so I could become more emotionally healthy. As a very young leader and rookie leader, young adults, I was handed the keys to the youth ministry in my home church with no formal training, minimal mentorship, and was just told to lead students. It's pretty classic story of a student who is a natural leader and as part of the group graduates and then just thrust into leading it. I have to say, it's pretty overwhelming, and as prepared as I thought I was back then when I took on that responsibility, in so many ways, I was immature, but really mostly in my understanding of what success even was. I would spend hours, and I mean this, hours, planning the perfect meeting or the event for students. We would play the most engaging games. We would experience just moving worship and learn from an inspired message. And this was all trying to emulate my youth pastor growing up, and it just really wasn't working at the time. I would go home not only exhausted from trying to coax students into things they really didn't want to do, which never works, but also feeling like I was an absolute screw-up. I had bought the lie that it was all up to me to figure out, in my own strength and in my own power. When it felt like the youth group was failing in my mind, it was truly me who was failing. It was my fault that the students didn't participate in the games. It was my fault my message fell flat. Me, me, me. I was exhausted, and looking back now, I realize that though I had found some encouragement and some good things like music and hiking, I also gave space in my life for some harmful distractions like alcohol and seeking relationships that just weren't fulfilling. While I had poured my physical and emotional energy into planning this awesome youth service, I had neglected to give time to the one thing that truly mattered, my relationship. I knew there was a better way to live out there, but I was wrapped up in the hustle, distracted by neglecting the teachings of Jesus that I was so desperate to impart into others. Not only was it not healthy, it was emotionally harmful. And I know this morning my story is not unique. In American culture, we have bought into a narrative that is not from God. Perhaps this is just the millennial in me, but I know I have been told to work, work, work to accomplish big things. Taking breaks, that's just lazy. The phrase used to describe that life is sometimes called the hustle, right? You can sleep when you're dead. Who's heard that? Because you're young, talking to me, you have to prove yourself by working yourself into the ground. Vacations, those are distractions. We must climb the ladder at work to make more money, to buy more things, to become happier. We need to be involved in every social justice movement so that we're making a difference in the world. We need to know everything about what's on the news in our world, in our country, and in our friends groups so that we don't feel left out. That we need to define a certain political view and know exactly what we believe when it comes to masks and COVID. And take that knowledge and use it against our loved ones. Anyone feel me? Isn't that exhausting? I know this affects us all in some level. And this is when addiction starts to take root. We abuse alcohol to relax because we are stressed out of our minds. We use pornography to fill an empty hole in our hearts because it's accessible and it's easier than a relationship. We adopt politics as a new religion, and look to our TVs as we absorb the enrapturing message of the news to give us counsel and to entertain ourselves. For truly honest, these idols I just mentioned, they're cheap. They're easy and they're destructive, not life-giving. We turn to them when the blizzard of life envelops us and we are lost in the storm. We desperately need a way out of our pain, yet these vices lead us deeper and deeper into the gale. Now, I want to tell you today that there is a different life, honestly. And I know that we pastors, we use that line a lot, admittedly, but what I've been led to share today totally and radically changed my life and continues to lead me into true happiness. There is a way out of the darkness. And today has the potential to radically change the way you think and live out your faith forever. And the irony is that this new way of life isn't actually new at all. In fact, it's ancient. And better yet, it's biblical. It's adopting a spiritual rhythm to your life. And this daily rhythm with Jesus led me out of the idea that everything was mine to control and I was a failure if it didn't work out. These aspects to your rhythm that we'll explore today can do the same for you. So, let's dive in. Now, to begin, we need to understand what God intended for us and what life was supposed to look like. And Adam and Eve are the blueprints of what God desires for us. He also created a place for humans called Eden. Now, Eden was like heaven. And God created this paradise for his creation, and he called it very good in Genesis. Now, this paradise isn't the paradise we probably think of, right? We think of paradise as sitting on a beach in Hawaii, relaxing, kicking back, having drinks delivered to us, right? Sounds good. And while those times are needed, Eden was a different kind of paradise. In this world, as it will be in heaven when we get there, there's work to do. So if you turn to me, we should check out Genesis 1:28. And Genesis 1:28 says this, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" You see, these are the first commandments that are actually found in the Bible, to multiply and to rule over creation. Now, just to put this more plainly, the author goes on to say in Genesis 2:15, the author goes on to say, just a little more plainly, "Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it." Work is not bad. We were designed to do it, obviously. Our designer worked for 6 days to create everything in the universe, including us. It's how we, as followers of Jesus, approach work that is different from the rest of the world. See, work had a limit. God placed a tree in the center of the garden that Adam and Eve were told to not eat from. Work had limits. It really didn't take long for humans to work beyond their limits and to be fooled by the enemy into their own hands. Now, the incredible thing about Eden is that God walked with Adam and Eve there. They spent time talking with God, but that relationship was shattered when they disobeyed him. Robert Barron, a well-regarded bishop, says that at the heart of the original sin is the refusal to accept God's rhythm for us. What is missing is our time with God. Now, I'm not really sure where our patterns of spending time, God, really have taken root, but we know them just the same. First, we have the Sunday rhythm, right? We all know that we're supposed to come to church or watch online and learn more about him. Many of us live as if that 1 hour should fill us with enough God time to last us the rest of the week. But how often do we forget about God by dinner time on Sunday or while watching the Super Bowl today, right? Our week is spent doing things living in our own way. Now, there's nothing wrong with church. In fact, time with other believers, teachings from God's word is very biblical, but it's not the full picture. All right, so maybe you have a quiet time. You start and end your day with God for half an hour in the word and in prayer. And I will tell you that if that's you and you have that, that's fantastic. Jesus set aside time to spend with his heavenly Father, and that's a pattern that we can use to grow. But still, what about when you're at work? What about when you're tired, you're grumpy, and you still have to go to the grocery store with your spouse who wants to walk up and down every aisle, and all you want to do is go home and just get off your feet, right? Anyone relate? Yeah, probably. No. I have been practicing trying to connect with God in every hour and in every moment of my day, just meaning that when I sit down to work, every time I take a shower, every conversation I have, call it mindfulness, call it presence, whatever, I think about the situation I'm in, and I just simply think about God, just for a second, and it all just melts away and becomes clear for me. And this is one part of my rhythm that I'm just working on developing. I'm not perfect, and I'm really, truly not even that good at it yet, but I want to become the best follower of Jesus I can be. Now, one of my favorite Christian rock bands is a band named Switchfoot. I think they do a really good job of diagnosing modern culture and trying to spread the way of Jesus through their music. It's really good stuff. And their second album's title song describes well this idea of living into our full humanity, of doing life with God in work. It's called A New Way to Be Human. And here's just a snippet of the lyrics. They say in the song, every day it's the same thing. Another trend has begun. Hey kids, this might be the one. It's a race to be noticed and it's leaving us numb. Hey kids, we could be the ones. With all of our fashion, we're still incomplete. The God of redemption could break our routine. There's a new way to be human. There's a new way to be human. Friends, this morning I want to share with you two practices that can help transform you into this new way of being human. Practices that will help you live and feel fully alive, as intimately connected to God as possible this side of eternity. Now, one practice may be unfamiliar to you, and the other you may even think that you're participating in right now. They're called the daily office and the Sabbath. Now, as evidenced in Eden, this new way to be human is actually ancient, and so is this practice that's called the daily office. Now, this is really what a quiet time should truly look like. Like I mentioned earlier, quiet times are usually focused on concepts like being filled for the day, an idea that puts us at the center. But the daily office, it's so much more than that. It's a new step recently that I've led to adopting in my life to slowing down and really experiencing God. It's less about being filled and more about being with God. Now, the term daily office comes from the time frame, which is daily, and focus on the purpose, office, which comes from the Latin word for work. Ah, there's that word again, right? You put those two together, and we get the daily work of God. That's what the daily office is. Now, I first experienced this practice through the Book of Common Prayer. And I was raised in a church that was non-denominational and didn't have many traditions in it. Like religious books, besides the Bible, or prayers that were foundational. And to be honest, we didn't really know of the history of the church that we were in. And this led me to explore different ways or traditions that people of different denominations used in their relationship with Christ to find that what worked for me. I looked for different prayer books and resources to keep my relationship with God fresh and growing. And one book I found in particular that I found helpful was the Book of Common Prayer, which is used by several more liturgical or traditional denominations. It contains a daily office practice. In fact, it's probably the most useful and meaningful part of the Book of Common Prayer to me. Now, the idea of setting aside time throughout each day to connect with God is commonly found in the Bible. I already mentioned when Jesus would take time away to be with his Father, but Daniel was thrown into a den of lions because of his consistent prayer rhythm. In Daniel 6:10, it says, "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he has always done, giving thanks to God." So that's Daniel, but King David, a man after God's own heart, practiced this as well and had prayed with God at least seven times a day. He wrote this in Psalm 119:64. He says, "I will praise you seven times a day because all of your regulations are just." These examples illustrate to us that pausing throughout the day to connect with God is a key to living with God always in mind. But notice, this is important, that the rhythms for Jesus, for Daniel, for David, they're not the same. They're all different. God has built each one of us uniquely, and so our experience with God is unique as well. And while I enjoy God's presence through nature, through hiking, through the rushing waterfalls or sunlight filtering through green leaves, to be honest, I really know that's not Chris's jam. He connects with God differently than I do. And one book that has helped me understand and how to experience and connect with God is a book called Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas. Now, if you're familiar with the five love languages that Gary Chapman have developed, then the sacred pathways written in the book are the love languages of God and how we love him back. It's really great, great resource. Now, before we go any further, I want to pause for just 1 second. Because going forward can be and often has been used to promote legalism and used as a weapon of guilt that have led people away from their relationship with God rather than a deeper experience with their Creator. And in my experience of being a pastor, I've had the opportunity to help lift the weight of crushing guilt that people sometimes feel when it comes to their experience with God. Once I was talking with someone who had grown up in a fairly legalistic church, even though she didn't really know that was what the experience she had. She wouldn't define it that way. She admitted to me that she really hadn't read her Bible in a long time, even though she wanted to. I thought that was weird, right? Why don't you if you want to? She replied, "Because if I start, I'm making a commitment to it. Then if I forget to read, as I often do, I feel guilty." Can you guys relate? What about prayer? Don't we feel guilty about that too? Bible reading, prayers, quiet time, many others are referred to practices or disciplines. We practice our faith. Just like I practice scales on my guitar to become a better musician, so I practice my faith to become a better Christ follower. Do I mess up when I'm doing my scales and get my fingers crossed? Yes. Do I get lazy and not pray? Totally. But just because I didn't practice yesterday doesn't mean I feel bad and just give up guitar. I start again and continue to practice in the days ahead. I give it my best effort. And it's just like a relationship with a loved one. Just because I forget to call my mom because I got caught up binging WandaVision on Disney Plus doesn't mean that I won't tomorrow just because I feel bad. I desire to talk with her, so I remember to call her the next day. And the same is like our relationship with God. God longs for any connection he can get with us, whenever we can give it to him. And the purpose of developing spiritual practices or rhythms isn't to bind you to anything, but to instead free you from the way the world operates. If one of your spiritual practices is beginning to feel dull or boring, try something different. For some of my friends, I connect better through text messages than a phone call or through a game chat when I'm playing a round of Rocket League on my Xbox. It's the rhythm that matters, not a fixed way, and it's allowed to change. It's filled with grace rather than law. And same goes for the relationship with our Savior. Following Jesus shouldn't feel burdensome or obligatory. Being in a relationship with him gives us hope, joy, and peace like nothing else. Now in John, Jesus takes this a step further. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So with Jesus' words and invitation in mind, let's take a look at four elements of what a daily office can look like and see what benefits establishing these rhythms can be for you. So the first part of the daily office is stopping. And this is critical to the daily office experience. While some people prefer to pause for 3, 4, 5 daily times during the day, some people only choose to do 2 or 3. Again, it's less about the amount of time and just about taking time to be with God. Some is better than none. And it matters that your time is unhurried, that it's intentional, so that what you read and hear from God transforms your life. Even if it's only one intentional, unhurried minute. And the purpose behind any spiritual discipline is to connect you more deeply with Christ, to refocus your mind and heart on him. And each time I choose to pause, I'm choosing to realign my heart and mind with God rather than becoming distracted by some other agenda. In Psalm 46:10, the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." Stopping and then centering. And this next step moves beyond just taking a minute to pause. The purpose to calm your mind is to let the swirl of your own thoughts fade and allow space for God to speak. And let me tell you, this is hard. I don't like quiet, right? I pop in my AirPods every day to let music fill the silence. I often fall asleep to podcasts, and when I'm home, the TV is typically on, filling the room with sound. To be honest, the noise and distraction can be comforting. Not being consumed by my own thoughts. When I just take a second to be still and quiet and focus on God, my thoughts drift, and my brain takes forever to turn off. Now, there's an app that I have found helpful called the 1 Minute Pause. Write that down, because this is a great app. It's by Christian counselor and author John Eldridge. It allows you to schedule 2 pauses from 1 minute to 10 minutes in length, and will remind you when it's time to pause and provide a pre-recorded prayer to help you focus. And I highly recommend it if it's a practice of being still and centering is new to you. If you're at work, 1 minute, you can do that. I believe in it. So stopping, centering, silence. The story of God speaking to Elijah is so radically different than how we think God communicates. Check this out. This is an experience Elijah had when God said he was going to pass by Elijah. This is found in 1 Kings 19:12. And that reads, "After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper." The chaos of earthquake and fire represented in this verse is similar to the noise in our lives. In contemporary culture, the voices of podcasts in our ears or the things I mentioned before distracts us from the voice of God, which is often found in the silence, in peace, and in stillness. How often do we really set aside for silence to calm our mind? And again, going along with stillness, it's hard because slowing down for silence means that our souls have to settle as well as come to terms with our feelings. It's far easier to hurry through life so you don't have to deal with your mind and the pain it might be feeling or the confusion you know is flowing through your thoughts as to why you're even on this planet in that second. Dallas Willard calls silence one of the two most radical disciplines in the Christian life. Theologian Henry Nouwen wrote that without solitude, it is almost impossible to live a spiritual life. So the two, silence and solitude, go hand in hand as we deepen our relationship with Christ. And now fourth is scripture. And while all these aspects of the daily office help us in the process of becoming transformed, it's the fourth and final aspect that provides the foundation for our practice. Everything we do must be rooted in scripture. And the daily office centers around the reading and meditating on the Word of God. So, daily office, 4 points. The second practice we're exploring is the rhythm of Sabbath. Now, the Hebrew word for Sabbath, Shabbat, means to cease, to stop working. Now, let's just take a quick trip back to the garden that we looked at, right? After God created everything in the universe, he rested. Not because he needed to rest it, because, come on, he's God, but to set the pattern for us as humans. Again, back in Genesis 2:2-3, it says, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So we rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. By practicing Sabbath, we imitate God by stopping and resting. The practice literally is to set aside 24 hours of no work every week. How countercultural is that concept, especially in our fast-paced lives, right? To us, this may sound out of reach. That's just not possible when you factor in your job, think about your kids, your appointments, and just all your responsibilities. But to the Israelites, when given this command in the Ten Commandments, this must have been so freeing, right? You see, they had just escaped Egypt with Moses and God leading the way. And in Egypt, they were slaves and they were working machines. They had no rest. They had to crank out brick after brick and never had a day off. And they were active just all the time. And they had no other choice because they were slaves. But the Sabbath calls us out of Egypt, out of the pressure of obligation and work, and to imitate our Creator because we are created in his image. So while the daily office teaches us how to be mindful and walk with him in all times during our work, the Sabbath is the ceasing of work altogether, and it's when God finishes his work. See, all spiritual disciplines call us to a countercultural way of life. We as Christians are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And these practices help distinguish us from everyone else and mark us as a free people. People are living as a light in a world full of people rushing about, trying to find purpose and ultimately meaningless things. Now, you might be thinking to yourself right now, well, I practice the Sabbath. Here I am at church, right? I thought Sabbath was just the day that I go to church on Sunday or whatever day you set aside, Saturdays for some, depending on your tradition. While a church service can be part of your Sabbath routine, again, it isn't all of the whole picture. Just like a quiet time isn't the full picture of a daily office. And also similarly to all spiritual practices, do what works for you. This isn't legalism, this is freeing, just as Jesus has said. Now, what Sabbath looks like for me is going to be different than what it looks like for you. For example, my rhythm of Sabbath is sundown on Friday to the morning on Sunday, since Sundays are work for me, right? The day doesn't matter, just that you pick a regular time and you protect it. And for further clarification, a Sabbath is a different thing than a day off. A day off for me often includes running errands with my wife or playing video games on my laptop. That's not Sabbath. My campus pastor, when I went to the school I went to at Bushnell University, taught us that when building our schedule as leaders, we have times he called sharpening the saw. While watching TV and zoning out can be totally needed, these mindless activities don't fill us or prepare us for the next stretch of work. So on your Sabbath, do things that you love, like hiking, reading a book, playing music. These are all examples of sharpening the saw kind of activities. They fill your tank and provide you with renewed energy for the days ahead. So with Sabbath in mind and with the daily office as well, here's four elements to help you embrace and shape your Sabbath experience. And the first one is stop. Stopping is the Sabbath. That's what Sabbath or Shabbat means. And this is probably the most challenging part of Sabbath because I love work. I'm addicted to it, as most of us are, honestly. For many of us, it's where our identity comes from. Just like John, 7 years ago, trying to plan the perfect youth group experience by himself, we often find ourselves captivated by our work. Now, ironically, stopping takes work. Just like slowing our minds in meditation, it takes a while for the rhythm of stopping and rest to set in. Our lives currently are designed around doing things. So as you figure out what stopping looks like, design your life and your patterns around it. Go to the grocery store another day. Do your laundry tomorrow. Adjust your routines to make room for a spiritual rhythm. Embrace your limits just for one day. Let God be God because you are not. It truly revolves around trusting God. Can God really take care of all the things that are going on in my life? And just like tithing, which is trusting God with your money, trust God with your time. You will see the results. So set limits. Turn off your TV. Put your cell phone down. The news can wait. Now here's an example from John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Now imagine with me right now, right? Think of how crazy this would be. What if you went the speed limit? Whoa, right? Who does that? But John, you tell me, I need to go to the next thing. I need to consume that coffee that I'm going to buy. Who actually follows limits? Someone whose life is transformed and changed by the love of God and wants to live in a new creation. So set limits for yourself and follow them. Just like the speed limit, slow down. And rest is next. So with this idea, what do we do? Well, like I mentioned, not things that don't fill you. Facebook doesn't fill you, it distracts you. Renew your mind. Stop thinking about work and set aside time with your family. Do things that fill you and pick up a few hobbies. Read the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. Try carpentering or gardening or just napping, whatever. We are called to rest, and this is what rest looks like. Not just sleeping, but to enjoy life. Now again, I stole this concept from John Mark in his book, but it's so good, and it's something that Laura and I do every week. We make a skillet cookie to munch on through the rest of the week in our Sabbath. Man, are we good at it now, let me tell you. We found these chocolate chips from Trader Joe's that make the cookie so much better than just normal chocolate chips. They're like chunky, they're so good. Now, do you hear the joy I just described in explaining this delicious thing for you? This is the next part of the Sabbath. It's delight. Now, feast traditions in Christianity really aren't observed in Protestant churches, which I think is a shame. I think we all need a good potluck now and then. Am I right? Amen? When I think about the delicious food, I think of delight. And part of slowing down and resting is just the ability, the increased ability to appreciate life. We learn to enjoy the subtleties found in the scent of a flower or feeling the fresh coastal air or the nuanced phrasing that we find in a good book. The Sabbath is to be enjoyed. How crazy would it be if people saw Christianity as something refreshing and freeing that they'd rather be a part of than just seeing a set of do's and don'ts to follow? and then contemplate. Through the Sabbath, we get to experience a peek at what heaven will be like. There will be meaningful work in eternity, yes, but also it will be so good and so full of goodness worshiping our God. It's a beautiful picture. And that's what we try and experience here on Sunday mornings. We worship with God's people, and we study Scripture to keep the day set apart as holy. Okay, I have a few resources I want to share with you that help me begin establishing my spiritual rhythms in my own life, and perhaps they can help jumpstart your journey as well. Now, I would encourage you to use the emotionally healthy spirituality day-by-day devotional that goes along with the book and the workbook that we're using. This is an excellent resource for helping you to start to develop the habit of practicing the daily office. I recently invested in a book of prayers that I read every morning and evening with my wife. We make time to slow down together as spouses. But this practice of and these rhythms are still highly individualistic. Our relationship with Jesus is just that. It's our own. And using this day-by-day devotional is just an easy way to incorporate this discipline into your rhythm. It's just twice a day, just a few minutes. Now, there are a couple of other books that explore the topic more deeply that I would recommend. All right, so first up, we have a book called To Hell with the Hustle by Jefferson Bethke. He discusses in this book that we are constantly being shaped and formed by things around us rather than be transformed by God within us. And then the other book that I've mentioned a few times is John Mark Comer's The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. This book is full of examples that can give you ideas on how to implement spiritual rhythms into your life. You know that whole bit I just riffed off about the whole speed limit thing? I stole it from him. All right, give it a read. It's great. Now, as the pastor of student ministries, I would like to address parents in the room right now. Don't just practice this for yourself, but pass these ideas down to your kids. Our kids need this because culture is not going to teach them. And students are addicted to their devices like never before. They are indoctrinated by the news that you constantly have running in your home and the fear it ingrains into their minds. They desperately need you to set the example. Again, not to make it legalistic, but so it transforms their life as it transforms yours. Now, as I close, I just want to leave you in the still silence for just a minute, and then I'll close us in prayer. Right now, I would hope and guess that your mind might be going a million miles an hour, maybe overwhelmed with how to apply these principles to your life. Right now, let's just take 1 minute together. Slow your mind down right now. If you're here in the room, obviously it's easier, but if you're watching online somewhere, you have a choice. I know I'm awful at sitting still watching the sermon online, but I invite you to try it right now. Put down the laundry you're folding. Put away your cell phone. Just sit quiet and still for just 1 minute. Then I'll pray us out. Heavenly Father, if 1 minute can feel like an eternity, but Lord, why wouldn't we want to spend that 1 minute of eternity with you? God, I pray that we can implement these practices, not just these, but even more as we become more in love with you as we experience what a true relationship with you looks like. And I pray we can slow down in a world that tells us not to, to enjoy your way rather than the way of others. God, as we read, as we study, as we implement these, God, just speak to us. Let's just fall into that relationship and spend that time with you. And God, not just by ourselves, with others, and invite others into these practices and spread this way of Jesus so it transforms the world. Lord, teach us your ways, your greater ways, and help us to implement these to our lives, to be transformed and renewed into this relationship with you. It's in your heavenly name we pray.
It's been our honor to have you join us in worship today. Whether you are a regular DaySpring attender or just joined us for the first time, we'd love to walk with you on your spiritual journey. Feel free to drop us an email if you have questions or want more information. If you'd like to partner with DaySpring financially, we have three easy ways for you to give. We don't take any financial gift for granted. Every penny is used to share the truth of Jesus Christ, not only in Salem and Kaiser, but around the world. Please see the online giving section of our website, text GIVE to the number on your screen, or mail one of those old-fashioned checks to us. Make sure to subscribe, share, and like our live stream wherever you watch it. Until next week, may the grace of God bless every aspect of your life.